Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Glad you're here. It is, Friday, May 11, 2007, about 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. Be aware of our website, of course, franklyspeakingradio.com, and all that jazz. We continue with this story. Again, from Paranoia Magazine, it's about West Nile virus, and it goes on. West Nile virus was first discovered in 1937 in encephalitis cases in Uganda in East Africa. African cases tend to be mild, and the virus there does not affect animal and bird populations to any significant degree. In fact, the ability of the West Nile virus to infect and kill birds has only been noticed very recently. Mild outbreaks of West Nile virus have occurred in Israel in 1951 through 54 and also in 1957. It's also been noticed in South Africa in 1974. However, since the mid-90s, outbreaks of increasing frequency and severity have appeared in Morocco, Tunisia, Italy, Israel, and Russia, and have been strangely accompanied with a large number of bird deaths. A Romanian epidemic reported in 1996 infected 90,000 people and caused 17 deaths. Now, keep in mind, we just did a story out of Tennessee where they were talking about West Nile virus season. Okay, so obviously there's a certain frequency with which this is occurring if they've got a whole season, and of course stories devoted to that. Very, very interesting. Goes on, scientists have determined that the closest viral relative of the New York 1999 strain of the West Nile virus is the strain of West Nile virus that circulated in Israel from 1997 through 2000. The 1999 strain in New York has remained stable for the last 3 years. Health authorities suspect the virus entered the U.S. via travelers from the Middle East or via a stray mosquito on an airplane. Other researchers claim the virus arrived with African animals or birds placed in zoos. But, in fact, West Nile virus has been housed in U.S. labs for decades and has been openly sold to researchers around the world. So there you have it, folks. You can blame, oh, it's a stray mosquito. Somebody got on a plane in Tunisia and had a mosquito in their pocket, and they got through, and then that mosquito, of course, survived the whole plane trip and then decided to go fly around biting people and spreading West Nile virus with reckless abandon. Unlikely, especially when you factor in that U.S. Biological laboratories have had this thing for decades. What does that indicate? What's more likely? Okay. According to Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy, on September 12, 2002, he said, quote, "I think we have to ask ourselves, is it a coincidence that we are seeing such an increase in West Nile virus, or is it that something that's being tested as a biological weapon against us?" End quote. So there you go. That's Senator from Vermont, Patrick Leahy, suggesting that perhaps the West Nile virus is a biological weapon. So would you call him a conspiracy theorist? Yeah, maybe, but still. The point is that it's not an unnatural thought process to have, folks, and that's why we should always be encouraged to ask hard questions and speak our minds on these things. It goes on, Leahy is no stranger to bioterrorism, having received an anthrax-laden letter at his Washington office in 2001. So quite plainly, you can see that he might be a little more sensitive to these things. It is surprising that the U.S. government quickly eliminated bioterrorism as a cause for the West Nile virus outbreak, particularly when the government has a long and well-documented history of biowarfare experimentation against unsuspecting citizens. Ah, yes, my friends, this is when the story starts getting interesting. Again, we've talked about this many, many times. Project 112, Project Shad, and so on and so forth, Operation Big City. Any number of things, including that mosquito story that I was unable to find today in conjunction with this news segment, but it is out there somewhere, and maybe you're better at research than I am. But we'll continue with this story when we come back here in 3 minutes, folks, with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Yes, before we dive into this, let's go to the phones. Mary in Georgia, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Frank.
How are you?
Well, I wanted to let you know you wasn't out there all by yourself tonight.
Well, I know that I'm not, but I appreciate that.
As far as the stuff you're talking about, I love to hear you talk about it because I like to know what all's going on in the world. But all this fear-mongering with the... Of course, it's true. We got so many animals. Birds, bees, fish, pigs, cattle, everything dying around us. I don't think that we're in the tribulation, but I do believe that we have entered the perilous times. And
I think that's there's certainly enough evidence to suggest that.
Yeah. And the only thing I can do, it doesn't scare me with all this Nile virus and bird flu and all this stuff to come out with, because, you know, Psalms 91, if I can, don't know if I got it just correct to write, but you'll know what I'm talking about. It says 10,000 fall on your left side and 100,000 on your right side, but the plague will not come nigh you.
Amen.
And
it's a very important scripture. I really like that. I take a lot of comfort from that.
Yeah. So as long as you know that you're in Christ and he's in you, even Jesus said that there would come a time in the last days that his elect would eat poison and it would not affect them. Mm-hmm. And just like when Paul was told by God that he had to go to this certain city and preach to these people, and then they had some kind of storm problem and had to get out and camp on land. And you remember this snake bit him?
Yes.
And he shook it off his hand, and he didn't even worry about it because he knew God had told him he had a place he had to go and do, and he knew he didn't have to worry about dying by that snake bite.
It's a good point. Very, very good point.
And
I agree with your assessment wholeheartedly. I just, you know, again, I think that, you know, we talked about health stuff yesterday, and we have before, certainly with other people on the show. And again, I think that's the importance here. That's the significance here, is that, we've been led to certain things that will aid us when we need it. And I think, you know, that's certainly a great encouragement to me also. And again, I have no doubt it's all God's will. You know, it's all faith-based sort of discernment, you know, on these things.
Right, and it's really good to have that kind of trust, because you don't worry as much now. You know, I told you the other night about my health problem.
Yes.
I'm not scared about that. The only reason I want to go and see Lee Kroc after I get my test done is to try to help my sister-in-law to go with me and to say, us be there together and let's do this thing, because she has no other option.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not scared of dying, because I know when I'm through with what God's got for me to do on this world, then I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I just hope, I always pray I get to do what he wants me to before I do leave.
Yeah.
That's my
Amen.
Main concern.
Sure, absolutely. No, I applaud you for that. I think it's a good thing, and I hope that it certainly works out, because it's a lot of obstacles, you know, a lot of, I don't know, hardened hearts, perhaps, that we're going to run into in the course of our lives. And, you know, all we can do is what we can do, and you're doing something, and maybe that will make a difference, and I surely hope that it does.
Well, I know that she's not in the Lord, and I'm hoping that if this thing was to work out and she got healed, that maybe she might have second thoughts. You know, what really broke my heart when her and her husband come to stay with me, it's like when everybody gets sick, they call me and won't come stay at my house. But there, her wife had a untreatable cancer, and yet he sat around and said, GD and Jesus Christ all the time, and I just couldn't understand that, you know?
Yeah. You know, people have interesting reactions to hardship. A lot of times people just simply, they fall away because they feel like, you know, there's no way that God is real, because if he was real and he cared about me, he wouldn't let this happen, and so on and so forth.
He just fixed me up whether I'm living for him or not.
Yeah.
people got this attitude, and it's being preached by a lot of pastors. You know, God is love. He loves you no matter what you do. All you got to do is say this little thing, well, I believe in God and I accept him as my Savior, and then you can go on and just live like you want to.
That's true. That is the working theory, I guess, in the churches. Yeah, there's a real problem, and that's the idea, of course, behind religion versus faith, which we also discussed last night. Yeah, I think there's something significant in the idea that the scientific community is inherently a faithless bunch, because they base everything that they know and anything they can prove and everything that they research on science. So if it can't be proven by science, therefore it doesn't exist. And in God, you know, you can make the case that using scientific-based arguments, you can prove the existence of God, but I don't know that that's possible. I think faith is required, and if you strictly are a science-minded individual, odds are you probably won't believe in God, at least not because it's provable, per se. So when you take that and you factor all that in, well, where does that leave you? It leaves the scientific community severely lacking. But you take people who are very, very strong in their faith, okay, people like Colonel Joe, people like Lee Kroc, people like Glenn Parnham, and all these people and their health innovations that they're doing, and all of a sudden it changes your perspective on things a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, Colonel Joe, you know, he's no scientist, but he cured cancer. Lee Kroc, he's no scientist, but he invented the energy cleaner. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I believe God has blessed Colonel Joe and Lee Kroc and others and showed them alternative ways to get out of this radiation, chemotherapy, and pharmaceutical pills that don't do anything but treat your symptom and cause something else, and then you got to take another pill to relieve that symptom, and it's on and on and on. My mama and my stepdad had just a layer of boxes with little lids on them with pills from Monday through Sunday.
I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah, and this medicine that my doctors gave me, when I took them, I wound up in the emergency room twice, and I quit taking.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you for that.
So, I just want to say that I think God has given people out there in the world alternatives to help people without being caught up in this profit-making medical system.
Now, well said. Very, very well said. And this is why we have to be very much aware of sort of what's going on and be aware of the fear-mongering that leads people to have these big pushes for vaccine. A couple of years ago, you remember there was the vaccine supply disruption because one of the factories that makes it, they found some contaminants. They had to, like, throw away a whole batch or the whole thing, whatever it is that they were producing there. And as a result of that, people flipped out, and they said, okay, well, we have a vaccine shortage, so when you're getting your flu shot this year, we urge you only to, allow the elderly and infants to get their flu shots, which, of course, we're told that those two groups in particular are the most susceptible to the flu. So the idea of injecting them with the flu, just preposterous, yet people just don't think clearly anymore. So as a result of that, there were two incidents that I recall from that little rush to the vaccines. People were standing in excessively long lines. And one gal out in California, elderly woman, I believe, she passed out from the heat, from the sun, and she fell and hit her head on the curb and died. So, you know, there's that. And then there were a bunch of people waiting outside in line in Pennsylvania, and they were having a cold snap at the time as well. So they were just like freezing to death. They're standing outside in sub-zero temperatures trying to get their hands on this elusive vaccine. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. These things are not necessary. And again, if you know the things that we've talked about on the show, then you know that there are other ways to solve these problems without having to wait in line, of course.
Right. When I was in the emergency room the first time, I had been diagnosed with COPD. Do you know what that is?
No.
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Oh.
I did some research on the internet, and it said that you're required to get a flu shot every year and a pneumonia shot every year. And I didn't realize that when I was in the hospital when they asked me the question until I looked it up on the internet and I found out why they asked me the question. They said, have you ever had a flu shot? I said, no. They said, have you ever had a pneumonia shot? I said, no. I said, I don't believe in vaccines.
Wow. Good for you. I didn't know they had pneumonia shots.
I didn't either.
hang on a second, Mary, if you have more. Folks, quick break. We're back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Ah. Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
This would be an uncertain time for us, my love. Of your voice in my head, singing my love. I can see your face there.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. And let's continue on with Mary in Georgia. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, Frank, I'll wrap it up with one thing. Like I said, all this scary stuff going around, if you're in Christ and he's in you, you don't have anything to worry about. And but there's a catch to that. You can't just say this little thing, go to church, oh, well, I believe in Christ and I accept him as my Savior and going about your business. Now, I had to spend a lot of solitude time sitting out. I prop up beside a pine tree. And I'd have my Bible, and I'd talk to him, and I'd read his word. And I got so close to him one time that I felt like it just kind of come to me. If I went to the doctor's office and he told me I had a brain tumor and I had 3 months to live, I probably would have made the doctor bring in the people with the white coats and put me in a straitjacket because I'd have been jumping up and down with joy. Now, all of us backslide, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that reminds me of the part in Revelation where Jesus is talking to the seven churches, and he says, return to your first love. But you got to know how to find that first love first. You got to, the first commandment is seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second most important is love your neighbor as yourself. And if people would just, instead of listening to their pastors, there's so many people that just go listen to somebody else tell them what's what instead of reading it for themselves.
Such an important point, Mary. I couldn't agree with you more, and it's exactly what I was talking about last night with the various churches and the cults and the various things that are out there to mislead people. If you are a follower, you will always be a follower. And who's to say that what you're following is the right path? Find it yourself. It's such an important point and an obvious one in my mind.
Yeah, and if you have the love for the truth, you're going to seek it. And now I've had some truths. Everybody does. A little truth comes along, and your carnal flesh says, well, you know, I don't really like this part, but you know, you got to do it. If you're going to go by the truth, you got to go by the truth. And so there's times when we have to crucify our flesh, and it's not easy. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And he was persecuted. We're going to be persecuted. And those that endure to the end will be saved.
Amen.
And I bless you very much, Frank.
Oh, bless you. I really appreciate the call so much, Mary. You have a great night. Thank you for keeping us all focused and certainly, you know, making these things very apparent in context to what we're talking about here tonight. Mary in Georgia, ladies and gentlemen, fantastic stuff. Folks, so getting back to what we're talking about here and in context of what she had just said, very, very important to understand exactly what we're discussing here. We've been told that hey, flu shots and apparently pneumonia shots and chickenpox shots, all these different things are out there and available. We noticed that regular flu shots were available only to people that were very hardy, I suppose. You know, the people who could handle injecting basically a flu virus into your body. Now, some would say, oh, it's dead. Well, you know, people still get sick. We've all seen it. Well, then they go from that to saying that the most at-risk groups, the most susceptible, should get this thing injected into them first. Again, infants and the elderly. Well, that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Then you find out if anybody's gone and actually received a flu shot as of late, they don't actually recommend that you get one flu shot. They recommend two, at least. So let's say that they have the two most common, or the Asian flu and the Fujian flu. So let's say the Asian flu starts off in like December or something like that. You go get your Asian flu shot. And then, of course, they recommend you get a second one. So you do that, too. Then all of a sudden, the strain changes. Let's say February rolls around and it's now the Fujian. Well, then there's two more. That's four flu shots in 1 year. Does that sound healthy to anybody? It's just amazing to me. And I remember in one of my first interviews with Lieutenant Colonel Craig Roberts, he was talking about chemtrails and whatnot, and he told me that the Russians had actually sprayed the flu virus into the jet stream to find out if they were to ever attack the United States in a sort of biological manner, how this would sort of drift across the continent, in which case you can see that that's very, very obvious. And I said, well, you know, gosh, why is it that we haven't heard about this? And he said, well, what would people say? You know, here we've been sprayed with the flu. You know, obviously the U.S. government's going to keep that from people because we've been sprayed by the flu by another country. As a result of that, how do we respond? We go spray them with two times the flu? No, odds are people would be very, very freaked out to think that we are vulnerable in certain areas, which raises the question again about the U.S. government testing various things upon its own people. Now, you could say, again, from the benevolent side, they're doing it for our own good, to find out our vulnerabilities. And then you could take the other side of it and say, but they're still spraying poisons on us. Anyway, we'll explore that in this story when we continue with more Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes. Folks, stay with us.
Yeah. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance, from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time. Whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Ground before the weight can leave the air. Buy the sky and sell the sky and tell the sky and tell.
Back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Very appropriate song as we were talking about the government's sort of documented history of biowarfare experimentation on U.S. citizens. It says in the 1950s, the U.S. military planned a project to cripple the Soviet economy by killing their horses, their cattle, and swine with biowarfare weapons developed from exotic animal diseases. How interesting, since we opened the segment with stories about cows, pigs, and fish all dying. They specifically mention horses, cows, and pigs in this one. It says the laboratory at Plum Island off the coast of Long Island, New York, is the Army's repository for viruses derived from the most dangerous animal diseases in the world. According to Norman Covert, nice last name, I guess, base historian and public information officer at Fort Detrick, only a handful of scientists were aware of this project. He said, quote, "In many cases, there are only maybe five people who knew what was going on in weapons research. People in one lab did not know what happened in the next lab, and they didn't ask," end quote. It says details of these Plum Island animal experiments were classified as secret until 1993, but it started in the 50s. So how much damage can be done using biological warfare and exotic animal diseases in that amount of time? I mean, 40 years is quite a bit of time for an accident to occur, right? It goes on, during the 1950s and 60s, secret military biowarfare attacks on unsuspecting civilians took place in many parts of America. The most notorious was a six-day attack on San Francisco in which clouds of potentially harmful bacteria were sprayed over the city. Wow, that could almost be like chemtrails. 12 people developed pneumonia due to the infectious bacteria, and one elderly man died from the attack. This attack was not revealed to the public until years later when classified documents were finally released. And the story that exposed that was from the Los Angeles Times in 1979. So, you know, a pretty good amount of time after the fact. In other classified experiments, the military sprayed bacteria in New York City subways, in a Washington, D.C. airport, and on highways in Pennsylvania. Biowarfare testing also took place in military bases in Virginia, in Key West, Florida, and off the coast of Southern California and Hawaii. So pretty broad stuff there, my friends. The Army also experimented on its own soldiers. Project White Coat, a code name for a series of biowarfare experiments that took place at Fort Detrick between 1954 and 1973, utilized about 2,300 Seventh-day Adventist volunteers who were exposed to germs causing tularemia, malaria, anthrax, Queensland fever, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, encephalitis, and a host of other exotic diseases. That's amazing. So why would they only use Seventh-day Adventists, I wonder? Isn't that strange? I mean, over the course of almost 20 years, 19 years of doing these experiments, and they only used Seventh-day Adventists. That seems very bizarre. Anyway, it says no one died in these experiments, but critics contend that the men were essentially coerced into participating in research that, despite military assurances to the contrary, could have been used to produce biowarfare weapons, which supposedly we weren't doing. In preparing America for nuclear attack during the Cold War years following World War II, thousands of U.S. citizens were used as unsuspecting guinea pigs in over 4,000 secret and classified radiation experiments conducted by the Atomic Energy Commission and other agencies such as, listen to these names. Now, again, these are involved in radiation experiments, irradiating the American people, 4,000 secret classified radiation experiments with these agencies involved: the Atomic Energy Commission, the Department of Defense, the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and the Public Health Service, which is now known as the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Institutes of Health, and the Veterans Administration, the CIA, and NASA. So go figure. These are the people, some of them, who are supposed to be looking out for your best interest. Some of them not surprising at all. Department of Defense, CIA, yeah, no kidding. But the VA, the CDC, unbelievable. It says not only is the public kept ignorant of biowarfare research, but biowarfare, quote-unquote, accidents are officially covered up, downplayed, or blamed on animals. We've seen that many, many times, too. For example, it says the Russians finally revealed the truth about an epidemic of anthrax that caused at least 68 deaths in 1979 in the city of Sverdlovsk, 850 miles east of Moscow. The outbreak was officially blamed on eating meat from infected animals. Officials at the nearby top-secret biowarfare compound maintained that the anthrax spores were spread among cattle through ingestions of contaminated bone meal, and that the people who got anthrax acquired it through the illegal sale of diseased cattle from private farms. Well, we kind of heard that with mad cow disease, right? Oh, it's just from diseased cows that had eaten diseased bone meal. Maybe. In 1992... Now, remember, it happened in 79. In 1992, Russian President Boris Yeltsin finally acknowledged the real truth that the cause was not natural, but due to an accidental escape of anthrax spores, weapons-grade anthrax spores, produced by the nearby biowarfare installation. Oops, an accidental release of weapons-grade anthrax spores. Our bad. We'll just sit on it for a couple of years. And again, the people who are dramatically and most prominently affected probably have died off at that point, and then no big deal. That's their mindset anyway. As the 1970s began, the U.S. Army's biowarfare program intensified, particularly in the area of genetic engineering research. In order to placate the fears of critics, President Richard Nixon renounced germ warfare except for, quote, medical defensive research, end quote, which means what? Well, kind of like what we're seeing now, where they say, well, we're very concerned about the resurgence of the Spanish flu from 1918, so let's reconstruct it in a laboratory, because we have to know how it works, we have to see how evil it is in order to construct a defense against it. So it's when they say medical defensive research, they mean basically creating the weapons in order to find a counter to these weapons. It says, but despite the 1972 treaty forbidding nations from developing or acquiring weapons that spread disease, the biowarfare buildup continued. Scientists understood that to create a defense against bioweapons, it is necessary to study offensive biowarfare agents. As a result, biowarfare research continued worldwide despite the ineffectual treaty. So a treaty is just a promise, and world leaders just basically with their hands behind their back saying, sure, we promise we won't do that. Fingers crossed and all. In 1971, this is interesting too. In 1971, Nixon transferred a major part of the Army's Biological Warfare Unit at Fort Detrick over to who? We'll find out. Again, the Army's Biological Warfare Unit was transferred over to the National Cancer Institute. Ding, ding, ding. Anybody see anything significant about that, perhaps? The biowarfare department there at Fort Detrick was shifted over to the National Cancer Institute. So you can see a lot of problems inherently coming up with that. And you can also see why cancer isn't being cured, because they're not trying to cure it. Thereafter, it says, secret biowarfare experimentation continued under the cover of bona fide cancer research. Secret biowarfare experimentation continued under the cover of cancer research. Very, very important point. Utilizing the latest genetic engineering techniques, virologists forced cancer-causing viruses to, quote-unquote, jump from one species of animal to another. In the hazardous transfer of numerous infectious diseases, scientists developed new forms of cancer in animals, as well as AIDS-like immunodeficiency diseases in cats, primates, and other lab animals. Virologists forced cancer-causing viruses to jump from one species of animal to another. They made cancer contagious. Isn't that amazing? And what's the thing that we always hear about now, that, oh, cancer is not contagious? They found a way to do it. I think that's extremely significant. Extremely significant. Now, whether it was cancer, with the forcing process, I don't know. In essence, they're making cancer contagious. So it makes you wonder when you start hearing various things about it. People would say, oh, well, you got a cancer cluster. Well, what is that? Is that one of the contagious cancers? Who knows? In 1981, a decade later, after all this happened, a new and mysterious immunodeficiency disease called AIDS suddenly appeared exclusively in gay men, the most hated minority in America. Very, very interesting as well, and it goes on to talk about AIDS quite extensively. But it goes on. Further complicating the bioterrorism is the sale of deadly microbes to anyone in any country with the cash to buy them. From 1985 to 1988, when the U.S. was still friendly with Saddam Hussein, his education ministry purchased 70 shipments of anthrax, West Nile virus, and other disease-causing organisms from the American Type Culture Collection located in Maryland, where Fort Detrick is, I believe. So very interesting there. So here you've got Saddam Hussein in the late 80s. His education ministry calls up the U.S. and says, hey, we're the educational ministry. We want to study these things like anthrax and West Nile and so on and so forth. Can you send some over? And they say, sure, as long as your check clears, no problem. The education ministry. So when there was all kinds of talk about finding biological weapons and whatnot in Iraq, that was a very valid point. And something I looked at, certainly in the lead up to the Iraq war, is it valid to concur that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction in the forms of chemical or biological agents? Yes. Why? Because we sold them to him. Most people know that. Story goes on. Even after Hussein gassed the Kurds in 1988, and even after the Gulf War in 91, U.S. officials continued to supply Iraq with biochemical warfare ingredients. The CDC themselves also sent West Nile virus and numerous other biological agents to Iraq during the years 1984 and 1993. So very, very significant. Now, then it gets kind of nasty. It says on October 18, 2001, the CDC issued an unprecedented alert asking physicians to watch out for cases of smallpox, plague, botulism, tularemia, and even emerging hemorrhagic African viruses that cause Ebola and Marburg disease. Before the terrorist bombings, virologists were blaming animals in the wild. Now it is clear that the more likely threat comes from crazy scientists who will use any deadly infectious agent as a potential biowarfare agent if it suits their national, political, or religious agenda. National, political, or religious. So that's intriguing, too, because that doesn't rule out, of course, the powers that be implementing various things. It doesn't rule out rogue scientists perpetrating various things, and it also doesn't rule out Islamo-fascists, as we've been told. So very, very interesting stuff in every possible conceivable way. When you start looking at these things, the CDC in emergency, doctors, please watch out for smallpox, plague, botulism, tularemia, and hemorrhagic fevers like Ebola and Marburg. That's scary stuff. But it goes on, could the new outbreaks of West Nile virus be a result of decades of animal experimentation and manipulation of the African virus in various laboratories worldwide? Surely, over the last 60 years, new strains of West Nile virus have been developed and weaponized by genetic and or biowarfare engineers. Once a virus like West Nile is quote-unquote introduced into the environment, it can spread rapidly on its own. Already, the West Nile virus causes disease in humans and animals unlike that seen in Africa back in the 1930s. In late September 2002, there were various media reports claiming that some West Nile patients were developing signs and symptoms of polio, even though that disease is caused by a completely different virus. Could these never-before-seen manifestations of West Nile virus be an indication that the virus has been altered in a laboratory? And it just goes on to speculate some more. But I think that's sufficient amounts of evidence to indicate that we should be very, very skeptical of these things. Again, when history bears out that these things have occurred numerous, numerous times, we should pay close attention. Because if they've always done the experiments on people, if they've always manipulated and genetically altered viruses to be more extreme, to be more contagious, to be more deadly, then we should pay close attention when the state of Tennessee has a West Nile virus season. I just think it's noteworthy. So speaking of that whole thing, keeping in mind the very, very, very big possibility that bird flu, when it does get nasty, when they do have the epidemic that they're all hoping and praying and trying for, because, you know, scientists love to have some drama, the question should be raised, given all that we have just learned about West Nile virus and the ability to manipulate and the intention to strengthen and evolve viruses by the hands of man, when the bird flu drops and drops big, like they're talking about, will it be deemed to be a biological weapon? Which is very, very possible. And we've talked about this before. Some of the assessments seem to be lining up that it will be blamed on Iran. And there's a big case being made for that right now as we speak, and we've covered that extensively on the show when it was a morning show. Not that I have time to go into it here tonight, but this is interesting to delve into here. All the way back last month, April 17th, 2007, from the University of Maryland News Desk. In a paper in the May issue of Emerging Infectious Diseases, an international team of researchers, including the University of Maryland professor Steven Salzberg, report the first-ever large-scale sequencing of Western genomes of the deadly avian influenza virus H5N1, bird flu. Their study of 36 genomes of the virus collected from wild birds in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, that group known as EMA, Europe, Middle East, Africa, okay, and Vietnam, confirms not only that the virus has very recently spread west from Asia, but that two of the new Western strains have already independently combined or reassorted to create a new strain. This is the mutation they've been talking about. This is the mutation they've been wanting to see. Several samples also contain the mutation associated with the form of the bird flu that has caused several human deaths in 2006. It is the virus's ability to rapidly mutate into a pathogen that may eventually be passed between humans and concerns health officials about a worldwide pandemic of H5N1 influenza. The study also produced some evidence that strengthens the case that humans have had an impact on the movement of the flu out of Asia. Well, that's interesting. What do they mean by that? Humans have had an impact? Well, we'll see their assessment. But compare what they're saying to the story we just read. Salzberg says, quote, "Our study shows that the virus is spreading west and that there have been three separate introductions of H5N1 in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa," end quote. Salzberg also said, quote, "We found that the EMA strains of the virus are distinct from the Vietnamese and other Asian strains, and that they have already divided into three separate new strains. One of the new strains has been the cause of several fatal human cases in Egypt and Iraq," end quote. Very, very interesting. So these things are completely different. The ones that we've heard all about, Vietnam and all the other Asian countries, you know, China and whatnot, oh, bird flu in Vietnam, oh, bird flu here and there and there. Well, the ones that are popping up now are completely different. And some have altered themselves. Anyway, supposedly. Stay with us. We'll finish up the story when we come back in 3 minutes.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, folks. Here we are, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, the conclusion here of this broadcast. And we finish up with this story again. You can find this at the University of Maryland's news desk, which is newsdesk.umd.edu, April 17th, talking about the changes in the bird flu strains that they're seeing. Now, this is the bad one. The study shows that the new Euro-African lineage, which was the cause of fatal human infections in Egypt and Iraq in 2006, has been introduced at least three times into the EMA region and has split into three distinct, independently evolving lineages. Two of those sub-lineages have also recently reassorted. The broad dispersal of the different forms of the virus throughout the different countries over a relatively short period of time points to the possibility of human movement rather than wild birds for the reason for the quick spread of the H5N1, said Salzberg, quote, the migratory pathways of wild birds don't correspond with the movement of the genomes that we sequenced, end quote. So the story goes on to hypothesize then that what you've got here with this evolving bird flu and it's spreading in different areas, sometimes multiple times, is the fact that people would like say, hey, I'm going to go on a trip. I'm going to pack the suitcase. I'm going to stuff a few chickens in here. And then they take and physically bring sick birds into one place or another, and then those birds sicken other birds. I don't see it at all. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Much like the mosquito landing in your pocket and you flying across the country, and the mosquito is like, I'm free now, and then it goes and escapes. So again, what bird flu? I don't know. Doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. But what we've discovered here is that it has mutated and reassorted. It is independently evolving, and it keeps reappearing in certain places. And it's different than the strains of the infectious ones that we've seen in Asia, which is where it keeps reappearing, presumably, maybe naturally. I don't know. But we have had a bird flu virus found in the United States several times. In fact, the Philippines have banned poultry from the state of West Virginia. So presumably, this is a bigger issue than we need to than we have time to get into here tonight. I apologize for that. We just ran out of time. We will explore this later on, if not tomorrow, then next week, certainly. But, folks, I urge you to pay attention to what Mary from Georgia had to say, because I think she said it better than I even could. And I talk for a living. But she was right on point, folks. Have some faith. There's nothing to fear out there. Everything you've heard on this show it's not to spread fear, but rather to keep you into the loop, to let you know what is going on in the world around you, and allow you to take the steps you need to prepare yourself in every possible conceivable way. First and foremost on your list, make it a top priority, your spiritual foundation. Make sure that is secure. Everything else falls into place after that. It does bring a comfort. It does bring a sense of peace. And Mary also mentioned Psalm 91. It talks about all this, folks. It talks about being able to withstand anything thrown against you when you have God. So take that into consideration. And pay close attention to the news segments out there, because you never know what you're going to find. You never know what sort of insights and things are going to pop up. So now we hear about bird flu again, and they're talking about it a lot. Like I said, didn't even scratch the surface on these news stories. But again, given the history of genetic manipulation of viruses and diseases, given the fact that we've been experimented upon many, many times, I think all of these things should be factored in. And what do they say? In essence, they are trying to drop this on us. They're trying to make it nasty because they know that America will roll over, will give all of its freedoms away so that we can be safe and healthy. Yeah. Well, don't believe the hype, folks. See you tomorrow.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth.